I was fortunately of a matter-of-fact disposition, utterly sceptical upon the ghost subject, and the old-fashioned appearance of the room took my fancy. "We are in King Stephen's Wing, are we not, Mrs. Marjoram?" I asked. "This room seems quite strange to me. I doubt if I have ever been in it before." "Very likely not, miss. Yes, this is the old wing. Your window looks out into the old stable yard where the kennel used to be in the time of our squire's grandfather, when the abbey was even a finer place than it is now, I've heard."
To convince myself that I was wide awake, I felt in my pockets for my notebook, and, pulling out my pencil, I opened the book and, holding it in my left hand, wrote as well as I could. I feel alone. I am wide awake. It is about midnight, Christmas Eve, 1878.
As I stood there, after pulling the pear-shaped bell handle, and heard the bell tinkling and jangling fretfully within, and as I glanced up at the dull house front looming cheerless out of the fog-laden December twilight, I felt my confidence beginning to abandon me for the first time, and really was almost inclined to give the whole thing up and run away. Before I could make up my mind,
an intent face, with delicate nose, well-shaped, although bloodless, lips, and eyes like dark caverns without a spark of light in them. The hair, loosely about the head and oval cheeks, massive, silky textured, jet black and lustreless, which hid the upper portion of her brow with the ears and fell in straight, indefinite waves over the left breast, leaving the right portion of the transparent neck exposed.
"I had been drowned a week when a sea nymph came to me and informed me that I was to be one of her followers forever afterwards, adding that it should be my doom to haunt Harrowby Hall for 1 hour every Christmas Eve throughout the rest of eternity. I was to haunt that room on such Christmas Eves as I found it inhabited. And if it should turn out not to be inhabited, I was and am to spend the allotted hour with the head of the house."
I shall never forget that look while I live. I turn, cold at heart, even now when I recall it. His eyes glowed with a fiery, unnatural lustre. His face was livid as the face of a corpse. His bloodless lips were drawn back as if in the agony of death and showed the gleaming teeth between. The words that I was about to utter died upon my lips, and a strange horror, a dreadful horror, came upon me.